The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
They are here in the thousands, they are here in the tens of thousands. Occasionally they shout, Die Mauer muss weg, the wall must go. Thousands and thousands of West Germans come to make the point that the wall has suddenly become irrelevant. Something, as you can see, almost a party on. How do you measure such an astonishing moment in history? The East German government said tonight they were going to make more openings in the wall, at least a dozen more, put bulldozers right through the wall so that more people could cross to the West.
That's ABC News anchor Peter Jennings talking on this day in 1989, 35 years ago that the Berlin Wall came down. John Downing from the Irish Independent was there. John, my understanding was you started out in Brussels when you got wind that it was happening.
Yeah, my God, Anton, 35 years. It seems more like 35 weeks, to be honest with you, but that's life. I had moved to Brussels to work for the Irish Independent in June 1989, about 5 months before all this drama. At home, there was a general election. There were all sorts going on. We were on the cusp of a Fianna Fáil PD coalition. I had moved to Brussels kind of on the informal understanding that I'd be there for 2 years, all going well, provided I didn't mess it up, in which case I'd have been Oxford home pretty peremptorily. But it turned into 10 years. But I was very new to the whole thing. And the Independent were kind of looking at this thinking, well, you know, we have pretty comprehensive coverage via the wires, particularly AP, which is always immaculate and really good. But anyway, finally, it just got so big. I got a late call to go, and I couldn't. Trains, planes, all of them completely. The only option was the automobile, so I rented a car and drove to Berlin. I had no idea. I was there with a road map, trying to figure out how to make my way across Germany. Ostensibly an 8-hour drive. It took far longer than that for all sorts of reasons, but I did get there.
And what did you find when you got there? Because I remember watching the footage of it and the sense that this was an epoch shift, that this was significant, that this was historic, that this was the nail in the coffin of the Cold War. There was so much wrapped up in it and there was so much evident emotion. It must have been amazing to be on the ground.
It was truly quite among the most uplifting things I've ever experienced anywhere. But well, I was 3 weeks later with the late, great Tommy Gorman, a great friend, colleague of mine. We were both in Prague when a similar thing happened, and the domino effect, it was going on right across Europe. And there was that buzz that things were, you know, fundamentally changing. The old order was being swept aside. Berlin was very chaotic, but there was a buzz about the place. The bars were buzzing. There were people, you know, you could see the way they were dressed and the way they were kind of behaving, that they had just come from the East. They were slightly shell-shocked. They had very little experience of the West, the neon, the razzmatazz, the buzz. That is, Berlin is a particularly special place. I had been there a few times during the early 1980s, sort of the student years, so to speak. I had lived in France, and I once hitchhiked to Berlin from Lyon in France. And it's a very special place. It was kind of dissident enclaves. For example, it was very, very hippie central, really. Lots of aging rockers, really, who had specifically gone to West Berlin, the enclave that is West Berlin, 100 miles into the old DDR, as they call it, the German Democratic Republic. We always note places that have the word democratic in it.
That's never in their
country title. The last thing they are is democratic.
Now, John, what about, you talk about the sort of the reaction of the East when they flooded across and when they saw the bright lights and the different, the razzmatazz of West Berlin. There was a sort of a sense that, like a light switch, the economy would change, culture would change, all would be well with the world. 35 years on, how much of that has come to fruition?
Well, I think 35 years on, there is there is woeful disappointment. I spent a long day in East Berlin the day after the wall came down. I had to go file a piece for the Sunday Independent, so that was my only real... I had to get out of there quickly again. But I got a taxi from, you know, near Checkpoint Charlie in the West back to the hotel. But I remember having a long conversation with this kind of aging hippie taxi driver. He was originally from Munich, and he was a truly lovely guy. He spoke immaculate English. But he told me he had come to Berlin so as he could dodge military service, which when he went there was 2 years. So he was looking at the whole thing, and he said to me very wistfully, and I was very struck by it. He said, "I hope we can create a new society. Not all this neon and business consumer nonsense." Well, we didn't really, and we haven't. And when you look now at you know, the difficulties in East Germany, or in the old East Germany, but across Germany, we see the three-party coalition has collapsed, which is rather unthinkable in Germany because governments run on rails and they go their full four-year term. This one has collapsed, and we're looking at elections sometime in the spring. And we're looking at surges to the extreme right and the extreme left. We're looking at great Euroscepticism and questions about the whole multilateral nations order of things, you know, things like not just the European Union, but the World Trade Agreement, the other things, the Bretton Woods, the IMF, the World Bank. These kind of things, which were a given for a long, long period, are now really up for grabs. It's disappointing.
That it is. John, thank you very much. That is John Downing, Irish Independent journalist. And it was this day in 1989, 35 years ago, that the Berlin Wall fell. Just a reminder of where we started. I have a text, by the way, to say, as a 68-year-old American woman, I have been crying a lot since the election. I am horrified and sickened. Also hopeless. I even find myself thinking, will I live long enough to see decency and empathy again? Another, the question is not how do the Democrats win over white males over 40? It is how do Democrats win over the working class and middle class, and how do they particularly win over male Gen Z voters? Yeah, again, the reason that I was positing the question in respect of white male, suburban, non-college educated voters was because if you look at the breakdown of the way the demographics went, the Democrats get the young, they get college educated, they get all black people, other than at a very high income level, there's a 1%, I think, goes Republican, and they're about 50-50 in Hispanic. When you look at what's the cohort, the biggest single block from the research that I would have seen recently anyway, it would seem that it is that particular group who are representative of the American attitude that elects the Republicans and elects Donald Trump and has done for the last couple of times.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.